Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Becky.
Before we get started, and get into the gist of our episode, I want to give a happy birthday shout out to Nancy Drew. Yes, the book character Nancy Drew. This week marks the 95th anniversary of the first publication of Nancy Drew Mysteries.
I still can't believe that series is that old.
No.
Well, so there's another podcast I listen to called What We Missed in History Class. It's from iHeartRadio Publishers. They recently did one on the woman that wrote The Boxcar Children.
Oh, yeah.
And the controversy of The Boxcar Children, you guys. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised if you think about it.
It was actually considered anti-family, and so it wouldn't go on library shelves. Because children were raising themselves. Kind of bonkers, right? But anyway, let's go back to Nancy Drew. Nancy Drew, the iconic teenage sleuth, first sprang onto the scene in 1930 with The Secret of the Old Clock. Instantly became a trailblazer for the female protagonist in literature. This was created by publisher Edward Stratemeyer and written under the pseudonym Carolyn King. Nancy's fierce, independent, sharp mind, and bold spirit shattered the typical damsel in distress mode. And across nearly a century, she's remained a symbol of curiosity, courage, and classic mystery-solving swagger. Anyway, do you want to know my five facts before we go into what the episode's actually about?
Of course we do.
It actually does. So our episode was inspired by the fact that Nancy Drew is 95 years old.
Yes.
So, she was ghostwritten. The original books were penned by multiple writers using the name Carolyn King because Edward Stratemeyer wanted a house name for brand consistency. Which, this is not unusual. Up and until even
there's like the 90s. Four or five different series that I read, like growing up, that I knew were ghostwritten, and it was like a collaboration series.
Well, when we talked about, when we interviewed Julie Garwood,
yes,
she talked about how she couldn't get a job writing her own books, that she had to write under this shared pseudonym. And they're actually currently in the romance contemporary market are two or three that I'm aware of that are house names, meaning the publisher owns those names and puts out multiple books with multiple authors writing under that pen name.
It doesn't surprise me. It still exists. You figure ghostwriters still exist. So
Jenny mentions in the YouTube channel that Sweet Valley High was one that was written by ghostwritten. Sue Price shares Millie Benson from Toledo was the actual author. She was one of the authors. It was but it's everything I could find. Stratemeyer created the premise, and then he found authors to write under it. So she could have been involved in that process, but her name just comes up as one of the authors that wrote under the pen name.
Curious, like, how many known authors, like, did a Nancy Drew book?
Yeah.
Like, who got their start as a Nancy Drew author?
Okay. Nancy was almost way less cool in early drafts. She was much more timid and obedient, but editors made her spunkier to appeal to modern girls.
I can see that.
She's multilingual and skilled AF. Nancy can drive fixed motors, dance, ride horses, pilot boats, and casually speak French because apparently being a teenage girl wasn't hard enough. She's like freaking MacGyver with an international spy. I don't know. The series survived a legal battle, a messy lawsuit in the 1980s between the Stratemeyer Syndicate and their publisher, Grosset Dunlap, ended up splitting Nancy's rights in weird ways because she kept sleuthing through it all. So Nancy, the idea of Nancy Drew inspired real-life icons, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and countless women cite Nancy Drew as a major childhood influence. Basically, she's a feminist gateway drug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Babysitter's Clubs did not have a ghostwriter. They were all written by the same author. Her sister did help her as like an alpha reader and idea person. And then Jen Ellen's asking an AI question that I don't have the capacity.
We won't start that tonight.
I don't have the capacity to answer that.
I don't have my chat up. Jen Ellen, if you message it to me, I can answer it later.
No, she just is asking about AI as a ghostwriter. And I don't think it'll happen.
A whole other. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, So what inspired our episode this week, Nancy Drew inspired us to talk about the female archetype, the warrior. Because if we really look at who Nancy Drew was as a character through her books for the last 95 years, she really is this strong, courageous, fighting against the norms that are typical, putting herself in the way that she comes out on top. So that inspired us to decide that we need to talk about the warrior within romance. So the female archetype, the warrior, is a strong, skilled fighter who defies traditional gender roles by excelling in combat and taking on a leadership role. This archetype challenges stereotypes by showing that women can be stronger and capable warriors. Okay, but here's the deal. So this very analytical definition talks about excelling in combat, but I think that combat is not the same in contemporary romance that it would be in urban fantasy, that it is in romanticy, that it is in paranormal, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about all of that as we go through this episode. So like I said, in this episode, we're putting a spotlight on the romance archetype that doesn't get nearly enough love, specifically in romantic suspense, because I have big thoughts here. And that is, we're talking about the warrior. She is fierce. She is fearless. She's the one knocking down doors, not waiting for someone else to save the day. From special ops agents, bodyguards, to vigilantes, to spies, the warrior heroine takes center stage with grit, skill, and unwavering strength. But here's the thing. Why do we see so few warriors, really, in contemporary romance, and most specifically romantic suspense? And since this week also marks the 95th anniversary of Nancy Drew's first publication, we're honored the OG Girl Sleuth by talking about how far we've come and how far we still need to go, and when it comes to badass women in fiction. Okay, so let's just start with the warrior. What is, like, so Amanda, for you, what is the ideal warrior? What qualities are we going to see in the warrior female archetype?
I think, and I pulled this like definition from someone named Annie Wright online, and it said physical strength, which I don't necessarily think you have to have physical strength, but maybe like mental strength. And then the part that got me was the ability to protect and defend oneself and others against bad or evil forces. So I think it's just, it has to be that character that's willing to go down fighting for what they believe in and for other people.
Yeah. For you, Leah, what characteristics are you looking for in the warrior female archetype?
I look for like emotionally strong, like hard love, willing to do anything that she possibly can to protect and help the people that she cares about.
Well, and I was thinking about it though, for like in the feminist realm, we also need this warrior to be someone that is persevering for herself. Not mm-hmm. necessarily, and I know that in romance, the couple, the relationship comes together, but oftentimes, particularly in something like romantic suspense, I want these heroines that are just as capable of fighting beside or going forward. And mm-hmm. one of the things that came up in this discussion is the majority, and I know it's not all of them, so I'm going to say the majority. The majority of romantic suspense books default to a male protector and a damsel in distress dynamic. And I feel like that is limiting the genre as a whole.
Well, it's limiting the heroines as a whole as well. Like, it's saying, like, they can do this, but ultimately they need to be rescued.
Particularly when we look at something like romantic suspense, the majority of written by women.
Yeah.
So you're women writing romantic suspense, and the default is, even if she herself is a trained, because I was thinking about the Rena Morgan book. Which one is that?
It's, I have it on here. Hold on. It is Stand and Deliver.
Stand and Deliver. So if we look at Stand and Deliver, like, she is, through all of it, fierce. Warrior, working her way through, you know, trying. But the default is to let him come in and save her.
Yeah.
When things get too tough.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them will lean into the fact that the women have been so strong for so long, and then it's nice to have someone come in. And I'm not saying that that's like, but that's what a lot of them will lean into. And I don't necessarily like love that. I get it. I tend to like the ones where it's, you know, maybe if they need help at the end, it's usually like a team effort, like in a security force, you know, where they've led the entire time, and then at the end, they might need help from a team, but it's not like a damsel in distress situation.
But I still feel like the majority of them coming in, even because Jen Ellen brings up in the chat that the male main character shows up to save the female main character, but she's already saved herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that those are rare. Even if we go that the female main character solved everything, rescued the hero or whatever, those are maybe 3%. Then the ones where the female main character has already saved everything and he just shows up right at the end, I'd say that's another like 5%. The rest of them, she's, you know, fainted on the grass and he's coming in the cave to save her.
Well, I don't think that that's true. I think that a big part of it is what is happening, like, while she is there, like, not necessarily like she's already saved herself, but what kind of strength has she had to pull on while she is in that situation, and what is she dealing with in that situation? So I think that is part of that warrior position. Also, it's like, yes, they have gotten taken and yes, they need rescued, but how they deal with it is a big part of it.
Yeah,
but again, I think it's so few of them that deal with it well. Because if I look at the Catherine Cowell ones, okay, where if we look at, like, the Tattered and Torn series and the heroines that are in that, there is not one of those heroines that, when they're kidnapped, I guess maybe book two, she kind of pushes back and tries to save the kids and the people she's with. But everybody else, you know, they're, like, talking and trying to reason with the kidnapper that took them. Like, don't kill me, you'll regret it. Okay.
I don't know that I expect that out of those books. Like, I'm not, I don't know though. I don't look at contemporary too much, or like, or those kind of romantic suspense, and think that I'm going to be getting like a warrior heroine. But I'm looking more at someone who's part of a security team or in the military or something like that. And I'm not saying that they can't be warriors in a way, but I don't generally go into
But those do you think it's because we've been trained to not expect it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
because if you picked up a paranormal series, let's say you picked up an urban fantasy series.
And well, urban fantasy, it's always the heroine. That's like, the heroine is always the main focus. She generally starts out as a warrior. She's like a mercenary or a vampire hunter or something.
But let's say you pick one up and you've heard great things about it, dynamic characters.
Yeah.
And you find out that she's kind of a weeping wallflower. You're going to be kind of irritated, right?
Yes, and I've read some of those, and I don't tend to go back to them.
And I think, but I think that's part of it is like how the characters are introduced, though. Like, if they're introduced as this really strong, fierce, like, force to be reckoned with, like, from the get-go, and then at the end, they're this, like, simpering wallflower idiot, then, like, yes, that is frustrating. But it's like, if they're not introduced as that, and as their character, like, development, grows and their personal strength grows and their inner strength grows, like we might it might not be this like big aha, like I'm saving myself. It's the big like I am capable, I am now, like a lot of the warrior, like it's the inner strength creation, like as the story
But
arc goes.
I do feel though a little, Leah, like you saying, like it's the inner strength and it's okay that she gets saved. It feels a little bit like a cop out, even for us as women. 'Cause like as I was going through my contemporary list, like I thought of that Rena Morgan book. I'm like, oh, she's fierce, she's great. And then in the end, she kind of collapses under the stress of everything that happens.
But I think at the same time, like she trusts that they are going to be there. And I think that is part of it that goes into it. It's like she is able to collapse because she knows that like her like the people that she relies on will be there.
But do we get that? Do the male main characters in romantic suspense, they aren't often treated like that. They just ride into the rescue, even if they're shot, they still have some
No,
heroic
there are
or
some.
valor
There
type moment.
definitely, I wouldn't say there's as many, but there are definitely some like
In percentage of
who.
what you read, how many would you say that the male main character starts out strong as the defender, the warrior, and in the end, he kind of collapses and needs rescued by the female main character or by. I mean, I know you guys
I'd say
read
probably
a lot
about
of the
5%,
teams. I
about
know you write a lot
5.
of the teams. So the
Yeah.
team comes
Yeah.
in and help, which
Yeah.
is kind of the same thing that happens. I just want to see more like guns a-blazing, women in position coming in, rescuing, saving the day. Like the team fucked up, and so the girl has to come in, the woman has to come in and fix it. I just want to see that. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and I think sometimes you can get that at different parts in a book. Susan Stoker has a couple where that happens. And I also feel like it's kind of limited, especially when you're getting maybe a 250 to 350 page book about one couple. Because when you roll into like a fantasy series, you're getting 500 to 600 pages, multiple books about one couple, and you're
Sure.
watching a journey that generally goes, and this is like a fantasy romanticy outside of urban fantasy, where you're seeing a female character who will a lot of times start out as like a maiden. She will move to a warrior and she will end up a queen. But you're running the gamut and you're getting large numbers of pages about this one character. So
And I
do
think
you
in suspense, one of those things is a lot of times, like it's not necessarily the female main character, but the characters we've already met that help save the day. It's like those background side characters who really, like, maybe they were the damsel in distress by the end of their book, but they are the warriors as the series progresses because, like, you have the women who are
But that
doing
only
the hacking
works,
and
but that only
helping like set
works
up.
if you have a long run series.
It does only work with the series, yes, because you have like that
So it's harder to do in
aspect.
a one book off. So it's not
Yeah.
something that you're going to see, an author that's writing standalone suspense books. They aren't going to have that in it because
Right.
it's harder to do. But so do you think some of this is genre expectations? Because as Amanda says,
Yes.
we go into you go into a fantasy book, you're expecting 500, 600 pages.
I think it is genre expectation,
Me
yeah.
too.
And do you think the expectation in romantic suspense is that they are going to be the strong, over-the-top protector, male dominant hero within that genre? Is that the genre specific you know, for romantic suspense, is that type of hero. And the woman is going to, the female main character is going to be a little less, I don't want to say a little less capable, but a little less of a warrior.
I don't know, because I think it depends who you read.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't generalize that as a genre.
Right.
But the majority of the genre itself is like that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good portion of it, but it's also, I think it comes in romance period that there's kind of like an expectation that the hero is going to save the day. Yeah. A bit of a situation. And I'm not saying that's like for everything, but I think there's some of that, because you can go into something that leans a little more women's fic, or you can go into something that leans more urban fantasy without the romance, and generally you're going to get a stronger developed female main character sometimes.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I think romance tries to balance that out, and it skews on the side of the hero, like having the hero like save the day, or you know what I mean.
No, I agree. And I'm not picking on romantic suspense. I'm actually picking on all of romance, because as we look at this female archetype, it gets understood in paranormal, in fantasy, in romanticy. It gets understood, you know, and even I will even say in historical romance.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I think that, you know, there are some very clear authors who are writing their agenda of feminism within historical romance, and they get away with it. And the average reader, the genre specific of contemporary romance, is not for male-female romances. It's not to have.
But in that same vein, like if you read like a male-male suspense book, it plays out very similarly in the sense where like one of them is like rescuing the other, like in some vein of the story, whether or not like they've gotten kidnapped or something. So it's like, now I have not read a female like suspense book. I don't know if they exist. I would be down for that.
Yep.
But I wonder like how the dynamic would go in that. Cause like a male-male suspense, like I said, it's fairly similar, like in the stylist, like of like one is a little bit more intense, like more not capable, but like there is that like different dynamic and different hierarchy essentially in that relationship as well.
Would you want to see, as because you guys, both of you, we read way more romantic suspense than I do. We've talked about this before. I don't love the current stylings in romantic suspense. I look for something different in my romantic suspense. So I do have a bias, I guess, against current releases in romantic suspense. But is this something that you would like to see in romantic suspense going forward? Would you like to see more equal footing of your main characters? Or do you like that there's this element of rescue?
I don't feel like there's not equal footing, though, at the same time. Like,
yeah.
I like the rescue, like that part I really enjoy, but like I feel like they are on equal footing for most of the book. Like,
see, and to be honest, that's what's turned me off of a lot of them, because it feels a lot of times like, darling, you sit down here on this chair and I'm the big handsome man, I'm gonna go save you.
I don't know and what I, you're reading then.
No.
If I said those authors' names right now, you all would be like,
I think it might just be in the perspective of like how you're perceiving the book, though, because like there are a lot.
I went into that Anna Blakely book that we read last summer really open-minded, really excited to discover a new author. And
oh, well, that one was definitely.
I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in the books. Yeah. I'm saying more often than not, though, they're on more equal footing.
The sampling that I've read, I don't feel that they are. Because, like, I read a couple of those Gemma West books. I didn't feel like they were on equal footing. It oftentimes felt like she's And I would say absolutely none of the Catherine Cowles are they on equal footing.
I wouldn't say that about Catherine
and
Cowles.
And Kristen Probes and
none of those.
Corinne Michaels, I would not none say... of them are on equal
footing. Yeah, those are, I would, those fall under like a small town romantic suspense for me, which are different.
In I would brain, also argue.
They're completely different.
But I will say the Nyssa Catherine small town romantic suspense, you don't have that dynamic.
Yes, you do.
As much.
In that one that's going right now, yeah, you do. You could give it to the first and the second book, but by the time you get to that third and fourth one, they're so caught up in their own little moments that, but even in the second book, she has to be rescued when she's taken out.
Yes, they have to get rescued.
But they're not, I think that, but they're not equal, especially in that second book.
But I think you're focused so much on the rescue part, but there's, but if you think about that second book,
no, think about that second book. She comes back to town. She acts like she's going to be fierce, but then she hides in her house.
I would hide in my house in that situation, too.
Yes, though. The town is terrible, but I don't think that you can be a warrior and hide in your house.
I'm not saying that she's a warrior. I'm just saying, by the end of those books, they are on equal footing in the way that they are.
But she only gets standing within the town because he throws his support behind her.
Yeah, but that's realistic. That's very realistic. But, I'm just saying.
But that doesn't have to be the case, because how much aren't we supposed to suspend realistic world belief in romance? You're constantly telling me, let go of it. Suspend your belief.
Well, I'm you read door handle shifters in your
and she
chat.
Is a victim. Yes. She is a victim. The door protects her. There are things wrong in that book. She is not a warrior.
I didn't say that she was the warrior, though. She is not written as a warrior, though. And that's the thing. Not every suspense, not
I know,
all
but you're saying
warrior.
That in the end they come off and they're equal, and she shows that she is a warrior as you continue on into the series.
I know, I didn't say that she is a warrior by the end of it. I'm just saying they are.
I feel like
much
our moms are fighting.
Even-keeled.
Stacey feels like we're fighting. We're not. I am purposely being obtuse tonight because I really don't care.
Obtuse is not the word that I would choose.
I'm being a bitch.
Yeah, I would use a different one.
I'm being a bitch tonight.
I would definitely be using a different word there.
Because here's what happens. We all do this within a book or within a subgenre that we love, right? If we love a certain subgenre, I love an age gap romance, okay? Yeah. So there's a lot within those that I'm going to forgive, right? Yeah. There's a lot that I'm going to be like, I'm fine with that. I don't see what your problem is, right? And both of you come into romantic suspense with it is your top, not so much Amanda right now.
Not right now.
But for Leah, it's her top tier. Romantic suspense is her top, top tier.
I don't know. I've been well in my dark era, so yeah. It may not be top
but it is
tier,
one,
but it is still at the top.
But it is a favorite. Yeah.
It is a favorite.
It is definitely a favorite.
And you, if within a subgenre like that, you easily accept. I feel like we would be having the same conversation if we were critiquing something like the Smarty Pants world for Jenny.
With Jenny, yeah.
With and Lindsay. Oh, God. But we're not going to do that because none of us be that crazy.
No.
They have elevated it so that for somebody to pick at it and say, hey, this is kind of a problem. This setup is a problem. The first instinct is to be like, no, it's not. You're wrong. And it's that whole, I'm not going to accept any criticism. But when we first posed this episode, I was like, oh, we could do the Warriors of Romantic Suspense. And Leah very specifically said, there really aren't a lot of them.
There's really not, because when you look at the archetype as what it is, across the board, whether it's the male or the female, you want that from start to finish. And honestly, I don't think, you can generalize, but I think there are a lot of characters that we give an archetype, but they don't necessarily qualify as that for an entire book.
Exactly,
So if
yeah.
we're going like for the warrior, but they have to qualify it for the whole book, then no, there isn't. But there also like isn't like the male side on a lot of them because their characters change throughout the book too. So I think like having the archetype is nice as like a draw, but it doesn't allow any
Do
change.
you think the archetype needs to be established? Because so this is my next question, and it really legit is a question. So can a heroine be both a damsel in distress? So in the beginning of the book, there is a problem. She is absolutely, in that, I don't want to say the victim, but she's the damsel in distress. There is a problem. Maybe she has a stalker.
Yeah.
And then the outcome of the book. So she overcomes, she fights, she battles, she is intense. So in the end, she overcomes and comes out the warrior. Can that, would that heroine then, would you classify them as a warrior? Because, while yes, the problem was focused solely on them, I think that works really well in a stalker romance, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the end, but is she a warrior because she over just overcomes, even if she has to be saved? The fact that she defeats the stalker, survives whatever happens, and in the end survives living elevated. Would you consider that a warrior then?
Honestly, like, oh, I'm gonna get morbid.
No, go for it.
If you really want a character to stay a warrior, then they should go down fighting, like in battle. Like they should die. Because really, the warrior is their ultimate goal is to go to,
So then,
wherever they go to in whatever type of book you're reading.
really, the romantic suspense that end up with her being kidnapped and sacrificing herself and, almost dying, ending up in the hospital or whatever, like that's probably closest to the true
Yeah.
defining of a warrior.
Yeah, I think that reads a little bit closer. Even if she, ultimately gets saved by someone else, if they literally go down fighting, then I think then they end a warrior, regardless of whether they save themselves or someone else saves them. Like, I don't think that they have to be the heroine because I think that's a little different. I think if they're willing to go down fighting, then they still classify as a warrior. And that was my late night thought that I wondered if I was going to get out in words today. So
We'll take it. I do. And that's interesting too, because if you look at the Valkyrie is only successful when they die within battle.
yeah, I mean, in all Vikings, you only go to Valhalla if you die with a sword or a weapon in your hand. Like,
Right?
I'm reading a lot of Viking
Are you reading a lot
romantasy
of
right now.
Well, like that's the thing, like it's like an honor to die
Yes.
that way. It's such an honor. And I think that is the big thing is, but that's also the problem with the archetype classifications is it's so hard to have it be, it's not simple. Like they're not simple in any way. Like you can say like she's a warrior, but what makes her that? Why is she that? Like, does she have to always be that? Like, is it always external or is it internal? Like, there's so many little like nuances that go into it, but it's also like on the hero side, like we have like the alpha hole and the cinnamon roll, but it's like, well, he's the alpha hole, but with this person. So it's like there's always those small nuances to it where it's like he isn't always that. But yet we classify him as that because that's the biggest, like that is one of the bigger like personality traits to it. You know what I mean?
Do you
Like it almost pigeonholes them and not always in a good way.
So as we go into book recs, because that's where we're headed next, when we start looking, because I have to ask this question, one of the things that we often hear about strong female heroines is they're unlikable. I hated that book. The heroine was unlikable. And I often think of After Hours on Milagros Street by
Fantastic.
Angelina
I
M.
love her.
Lopez. She is a warrior.
She is.
Through that whole book. She comes home with the tail between her legs, but once she realizes there's a problem, she fights. And she is willing to fight until the very end. But that book gets dinged continuously for her being incredibly unlikable.
Yeah.
So then is this, again, that genre piece that authors can't write necessarily a warrior, a true warrior, because then she becomes unlikable.
I think the problem is that women who, like, are warriors in business or warriors in, like, their personal lives, who are very strong personalities, it's still not okay with a lot of people. And I think that is the, like, part of the reason we don't read a ton of those, or if we do, like, they're the unlikable one, because other women don't want to see other women succeed. Like, and it's, unfortunately, like, it's still the world that we live in, but there are a lot of, like, women out there who, like, they, if there's a woman who is in charge of, like, their company, like, they don't like them because they're bitchy, but it's like, they almost have to be that way to get things accomplished. So it's like, a guy can be, like, a president of a company and be very nice, like, and get things accomplished. But, like, a woman in that same exact position, she almost has to be bitchy because, like, she's a woman, so she isn't as capable as a male. So it's like, it's this horrid, like, creation of, like, the world we live in. It's like, women have to be strong and almost cynical in a sense to be that type of person, because if not, then they don't deserve what they have.
Yeah. Well, and we get it all the time. A strong, fierce heroine who, you know, says, I don't need you to fix this. I just need you to stand here with me. Those are the books that we get those comments of, the unlikable heroine. Or, you know, if we start going through historical romances, it's often said, like, stop pushing your social agenda on me. That's why some readers don't want to read it, because they feel they're being preached at. I just personally would love to see, across all of romance, and I'm not saying it has to be every character, because I like a damsel in distress, I like a femme fatale, but I would like to see more of women not having to go to the sideline to allow the male to succeed. And I actually was thinking about Drake by Sawyer Bennett, and his hero is Brienne Norcross, who has to overcome her family's, the loss of her brother and everything. But he actually steps aside, and he's willing to leave the team in order to allow her to continue to go forward and do the things that she needs and wants to do. And I was thinking about that, and I would just like to see more situations like that. Instead of the heroine stepping to the side or needing rescued, I would love to see, not every book, but more books where she's allowed to go forward and succeed. And he says, this is your light, you shine.
I will say Anna Hackett is one of the authors who, her heroines oftentimes do not necessarily need the rescue. Like, they do, but they don't. Like, she has, like, the hackers, like, her in her billionaire series, like, they still have suspense aspects to it. Like, book one, she's a locksmith. Like, she has to go in and, like, infiltrate a couple dangerous situations and like, steal, like, open the, like, the unbreakable safe and steal the stuff. And it's like, she, oftentimes her heroines are like that. Like, in her Hell Squad series, like, there is a woman on the team, like, in her Team 52, like, one of the women, she has a fake eye, and I think there might be something else, but, like, she was, like, in the service and, like dealt with those, like, issues and is like just as strong as all the men. And like in that series, like oftentimes the women are not like kidnapped. Like there's other like things going on, but like the women hold their own just as much as the men.
Yeah.
But I think it's like in those books, it's like a situational thing because of like the forces that they're against.
Okay, so let's just start talking and throwing some titles out. To be honest, this is a very hard archetype to find recs for in contemporary. I have some, not a ton. And it actually has to kind of redefine what a warrior is almost in each and every one of mine.
Honestly, when
Because
I was looking through Rex, like I have a few, I don't have a lot, but mafia heroines from certain authors, others, like they're all too stupid to live, but mafia heroines are oftentimes the ones who save themselves.
And Amanda did us the service of finding them in urban fantasy, in romanticy, and PNR, because I think that's probably the easiest place to put them. You would think it would be suspense, right? Because they could be a soldier and move forward and help, but in contemporary male, female romantic suspense, it is harder to do.
Yeah, I mean it is the archetype that is that most defines urban fantasy, or with or without romantic elements.
So what are
So,
some of your faves?
well, Stacy said my fave in the chat. It's Kate Daniels by Ilona Andrews. She is the quintessential warrior. She is raised for the sole purpose of killing her father, who is one of the most powerful beings on the planet. She gets away from that life and she goes into work for a mercenary guild where she helps people. Then her father comes to town and she meets Curren, who is the beast lord of the Atlanta area, and they get together. But everything that she does, he is there to help her, he is there to assist her, but she is the one kicking ass and taking names all the time, every book. And it goes on. The book series is like 9 or 10 books long, and then they even like move to another town and they can't get away from the fact that she just has to take care of everything. And she starts out a warrior, and I think she will die a warrior.
Do you wish that same kind of energy would be in more contemporary books?
I wish that same kind of energy would be in all of everything I read because I love her.
Okay. I'm just asking. I think that there is an attraction to that. So, Leah, tell us a book for you, and then we'll.
My first one is actually just a full series. So Kaylee Frost wrote the Vengeance series. It is all about these heroines that were orphans or taken, or they were created to be Valkyries. Like that was what their jobs were. Like, and this whole series is them meeting like the people that, because they don't want to be doing it anymore and they're trying to get out. And there's this whole dynamic of them meeting their heroes and things like that. But they definitely are, they are not damsels. I mean, it occasionally happens where they get kidnapped, but often the other Valkyries are the ones that save them. It is not necessarily the men are there, but the women, it is a very women-focused, women-driven series.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question. And this is really for Leah because she read the book. Lucy Scores' Story of My Life. She is at the beginning of the book in puddles. Like, shit's fallen apart for this lady. And she's not succeeding. She makes the decision in the middle of the night to buy a house she's never seen in a town she's never visited because the story spoke to her. She goes to this town and
And things still fall apart.
things still fall apart, but she's kind of single-handedly saves the town with her ideas and her cash flow.
She in her own way, she is a warrior because she goes to this town and she grabs life with both hands. She and her friend Zoe have decided that She is no longer going to be pushed down by life. Like, she is going to do what she needs to do to succeed and succeed on her own. So yes, I definitely think that
She never gives up either, and
she does
she's
not give
never the
up. And I think
victim.
that's the biggest thing. But that is one of those things, like, going into that book, she is not a warrior. She is
No.
kind of a
She's a hot
she's a
mess. She's a
she's
hot.
something.
She is a dumpster
And so
fire.
she is a dumpster fire, and you don't know what's going to happen by the end of the book. But like, from like start to finish, like, she is a fierce force to be reckoned
But
with by
he
the end
never
of the
really
book.
saves her, though. Because he
No,
keeps
he
messing up and she
oh
keeps.
he's honestly, he kind of brings her down. I do really enjoy that book. You should listen to it. You
It's a
don't
great
necessarily need to read
audiobook.
it. It is a
But
great
it was just a
audiobook.
thought as I was preparing my list. So I have more questions like that. Amanda gets the next one. But Amanda, tell
Oh.
us a book. Tell us a book that's on
Okay.
your list.
Okay, I'm gonna go back to romantic suspense for like a second.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say The Guarded One by Brittany Shaheen.
Dang it, I have
This
that one on my
oh, sorry.
list.
Sorry. Well, no, you talk about it then.
No, you can talk about it. It's fine.
Sorry, I
I
didn't
know how
realize we
much
were
you
gonna
love
have me.
it.
Yeah, I do love that book. That's Sydney's book. She is actually she's on the Falcon Falls security team. She is former military. She runs around with a bow and arrow, basically. And Beckett, actually, who's the hero, he's a small town sheriff. He actually comes to her to get him out of a mess that he has found himself in with the cartel, and he knows that he can't do it. So he goes to her. And she comes in and pretty much handles it. I think it ends up being like a team save at the end, right? Do you
Yeah.
have? Okay. Yeah, it ends up being like a team save at the end, but she is at no point, I don't think, in any distress. Like she
She
is,
could have handled shit by
yeah,
herself.
she could have. And she is the one that the team goes to constantly in other books to bail them out of trouble. Like she is a complete, like, just warrior all the time.
Yes.
Okay, Leah, what do you got next?
So I'm gonna go be specific. Anna Hackett. It is, wait, no, that's not the one I wanted, but this is the one I'll talk about. So, Stealing from Mr. Rich is book one. She is the locksmith, like I said. Her name is Monroe. Her hero is Zane, and her brother has done fucked up, and like she has to like save him, and she is being like essentially pulled into like the underbelly of New York, trying to do things. And but that's the thing, like she needs help in the sense where like she needs support. Like she is doing it, she is capable, like she is making things happen, but she having the support that she does wasn't expecting, and like the boost to like show her that she was capable of doing this all the time, but now like I got the money that you don't have to like
Yeah.
worry about like these little things. And so it's, and that is like how a lot of her heroines are. It's like they're fully capable, but they just need that, yes, you can do this, like you know you can do this, but I'm telling you, like I am there on the other side for you.
Okay,
That's a really good series.
It really is.
so first I'm going to give a book rec, but it's a historical romance. And she is a warrior,
Okay.
but not in a typical way. And that's going to then lead me to my next question for Amanda for a book for her to talk about. So, The Secret by Julie Garwood. In this book, the heroine learn is a lady, an English lady born on the border between Scotland and England. And she, her friend, her very best friend in her entire life, has married a Highlander, and her friend has learned everything she can about childbirth and midwifing because her friend's mother, grandmother, aunts have all died in childbirth, and she is scared to death to have a child. And so, in The Secret, the heroine travels to her friend to help her because it's her time to give birth, and it is against the societal norms. She has to fight against the other members of the clan who do not think it's appropriate for her to be a midwife because she is unmarried and a lady. And it's not typical, right? but she is actually willing to die to save her friend. So, because
I think she definitely qualifies.
I think she qualifies as a warrior. And there is a sword scene where she, you know, does fight people with a sword.
Honestly, like, I don't even care about the sword scene. The fact that she is willing to do that for somebody else is,
okay.
That's so, warrior.
So for Amanda, would Anna from Sea Swept by Nora Roberts be considered a warrior? She is a social worker.
Yes.
She pushes against the expected norms.
Yeah, and I think Nora Roberts is one that you could say she has a lot of warrior heroines. And they just, they brought up in the chat, Jen Ellen brought up her J.D. Robb series. Eve Dallas is 1,000% a warrior. I think Nora Roberts does it very well. Anna definitely falls into that. I think if you have, you know, we call them in our everyday lives, social justice warriors, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it definitely qualifies.
Okay. It was just, I was like, huh, Anna is a social worker. You know, she's working the system. She comes up a lot against a lot. And I think she is one that often could be unlikable in the Nora Roberts universe because she doesn't play nice.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I don't think there's really anyone in that whole series that I don't like.
But I'm just like...
A lot of her books. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying because she's, you know, she's kind of at cross purposes with the brothers. So yeah, there's definitely some of that because her work, you know, her making sure that Seth is taken care of and is the priority is over everything else. It's over her relationship or what she might have going. I think it's, is it Philip in that one?
Cam, Anna and Cam.
Cam. Yeah. Which Philip's the other one, but yeah. So I, you know, like, she's putting like someone else above her first, you know, so she qualifies.
Okay. Give us a book.
Okay. My next one's going to be a series. It's the Night Huntress series by Janine Frost. Kat Crawfield is the heroine. She is a vampire hunter. And in case anyone hasn't read that series, it is currently available in KU for a limited time. It is one of my favorite vampire series. It follows the same couple through the whole... through the whole books, but anyway, Kat hunts vampires and Bones is a vampire and they get together and they go on lots of misadventures and there's lots of sexy times. And I can't say what else is going on with her because it's kind of like a spoiler if you haven't read it, but it's really good.
Okay. Leah, what's your next book?
My next one is from Lexi Blake's Masters and Mercenaries Reloaded series. It is The Dom Who Came in from the Cold. This is Kyle and Maybe's story. So Maybe is a computer person. Like she is a keyboard warrior, does all her things. Kyle is, he was in the CIA and he has pretended to kill, like to die. But so Maybe, like, she's always been very tough, very smart, very capable. He never really saw that side of her, even though he wanted to do her all the time. But so Kyle, like, makes all these decisions for her, and she has decided that since he's an idiot and she knows he's not dead, but he's like pretending that he's going to be dead, she is done with him. And so she like becomes strong in, like, she makes them train her, like, for outside things. And so she's such a strong character, and like she's like, well, since you decided to make this decision without me, like, I'm going to do what I want to do, like, you, like, I will save myself, I will do whatever I need to do, like, I do not need you to protect me or to help me anymore. Not that she needed it before, but she kind of liked the fact that he was there to do that before. But since he was a dumbass, she decided that nope, no more.
Okay.
It's such a good book. I actually just really enjoy that series.
Okay, so I'm going to give a book and then I'm going to ask another question. Because you all are really loving this tonight. I can tell.
I actually do really
enjoy it. No, I do like it.
I think it's a little fun format. It's more work for you.
It's more work for me. My next book that I think is a true warrior is the first book in Welcome to Winterville by Carrie Elks. The heroine realizes that her aunts and uncles and her parents are shit, and that they're trying to sell the town of Winterville, because they've inherited it, out from under all the people that live in the town, because the family owns the mountain. And she goes up against her hero and never backs down, to the point that she is willing, even though she's attracted to him and wants to have all the sexy times with him, she's willing to walk away from him in an effort to save Winterville. Like, she, at the sacrifice of everything else, she will save Winterville and the people that live, and the town, for the people that live in Winterville. So as Stacey says, read Winterville. Anyway,
I wondered how you were going to get Carrie out.
I haven't mentioned her the last couple episodes, so.
That's not true.
I have not. Okay, so here is my next question for you guys. So in a book like Savor It by Tara DeWitt, would you classify Sage as a warrior? She is doing everything she can to keep her family together, even when her brothers are stupid. She is willing to pretty much burn the world down for her best friend. She is trying to show that she can battle and win through town. There isn't a huge battle scene, but in an effort to persevere and to preserve herself,
there's a lot she of lets emotional him go. Battle.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of emotional battle. In
she's willing to break her own heart because she knows he needs to go, which is kind of like dying by the sword. So Savor It. Is she a warrior? Is Sage a warrior or not? Or does she have warrior-ish qualities?
I'd say ish qualities.
Okay.
Because yes, but no at the same time.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's, the focus is not so much on keeping her family together, and the race is more about, you know, trying to.
It's personal victory.
Because it's a personal victory, yes. But it's not really for anyone else on that side. You know what I mean? Like there's no. Well, town.
But she's at the same time, the like,
I'm not like disqualifying like any her being warrior-ish, no. But I'm just like, it no. wouldn't immediately come to my brain that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was really honestly just trying to pick up obscure books, like, to talk about, to say, okay, this one has, it could, but does it? Yeah. So
I definitely, like, it could, and she definitely has those qualities, but I don't think I would definitely qualify her as a strong woman, but I don't know if warrior is the right
term for her
name there.
Okay. I think that's
what do you think?
I don't think she's a warrior. I think she's more of the ingenue.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I couldn't think of like which other
forward
one she
thinker,
would be.
The big picture.
And that's the thing, like, she has those qualities of the warrior, but it's not. Warrior.
Yeah, I wouldn't immediately call her like a warrior. But
to me, well, she's a standout heroine, but to me, she's more of the thinker, the ingenue, the creative spark.
And also, like, it's more of a not survival thing for her, but kind of survival for her.
But wouldn't you say survival would fall under the warrior?
But.
The fighting to survive.
But I don't think at the same time, like, hers is more emotional. It's emotionally, like, focused and forward. And I don't think. Yeah. Hey, so I
have more to throw out. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to keep you guys guessing. Amanda, do you have another book to talk about?
Well, let's see. What else? And I will preface this by saying that I do actual work for her, but I would say the Bridge City Security series by B.A. Chaut, and I'm probably saying her last name wrong and she can yell at me later.
She will. She'll be in my comments being like, you said my name
wrong. We need the phonetical pronunciation.
Yes. But the first book in that series is Chasing Redemption, and this is a team of women who were actually recruited by the government to form a ghost ops unit. They were an off-the-books unit. They did this for 8 years. They all got into that situation because of something that happened in their life, and they basically had nowhere else to go except to this unit. 8 years later, they formed a security series in Portland. There is no saving by the men in these books. The women do all of the saving. And even book, she's working on book three right now, and the hero is a mafia don, and she still is the one who does all of the saving.
I love
So
that.
these are really fun. If you want that female-led team, each book is about a different member of the team for the two that are out right now, and I highly recommend those for anybody who just wants like that
Badass woman.
strong assassin type.
Yeah. Okay, Leah, do you have another?
Yeah, I have Taking Liberty by Riley Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
So Liberty is it's second the second generation series. Liberty is a ranger in the army, and it is like she is the only female ranger like that had qualified for that, and she's in like a special like thing like and she's in a special unit from that as well. But like, so at the beginning of the book, like she gets rescued because she has been taken hostage. And a lot of the book is like her overcoming the challenges and PTSD and all those things through the book. But then by the end of the book, like it is her taking control of the situation and going in. And like she doesn't get kidnapped again, but like she takes control and she's such a strong character, and she does falter throughout the book. And I think that's one of the biggest things I really enjoy about this character, because she has always been touted as this extremely strong warrior type character, but then like she has her like faults, and she has those moments where like she falls but then is brought back up, and Drake is her hero, and he props her up, but he does not like push her or lead her. Like he actually is like beside her or behind her as she like creates her journey.
Okay. My first one is going to be a recommendation, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Something Unexpected by Vi Keeland. I don't think anyone else in this group has read that book.
Not yet. It's on my Kindle.
Yeah, I have not read
It's
that one.
emotional. It's emotional. The heroine in that book is on a death tour with
Oh
the
no, I read
hero's
that one.
grandmother.
I was thinking the new one.
Oh no, I read Jilted. She's not a warrior.
Not that one, the
She's
other
a hot
one,
mess.
the borrowed something
Oh
blue one.
no.
That's the one I was thinking. But no, Something Unexpected, definitely a warrior.
Yeah. So she has heart disease. She's kind of done everything she can and is now taking the hospice approach to life. She's going to live life to its fullest. And in the meantime, falls in love with her travel companion's grandson. And in the end, she continues to fight for herself. And I don't want to spoil that for anyone who's read it, but it gets
She
so
advocates for herself
right. She advocates
so
for
much.
herself and what is the best way for her to go through her journey of her own disease. And so that's my next question. Do you feel that if a female main character has a chronic illness and they continue to fight their illness, fight against the societal expectations, this could even be a mental illness. This could even be like something like OCD, a diagnosis or something like that. So in those books, would you consider those heroines, warriors, because they continue to move through their illness, their diagnosis, to find love, and the love, they have to push back against all the things that are the roadblocks to maintain and keep that love, be it their mental health, their physical health, their medications, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think
I
so.
think so.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like if we take out the very Webster Dictionary definition of a warrior archetype, if we look at the heroines in these books that rep with chronic illness, those are warriors to the end.
I agree.
To the end, those are warriors. Okay, last book.
My last book. Okay, I'm going to go one that leans slightly more urban fantasy with less romantic elements. that's the Elemental series by Jennifer Estep. It's Jen Blanco. She is actually an assassin. She was raised to be an assassin. I have a theme going here. But
it has a theme.
Yeah. Her anyway, her entire family was killed and she's raised by another guy who's an assassin. Basically, like, her whole life is to get back at these other people that she thinks killed her family. Everyone has like an element that they have an affinity for. It's like a stone or a fire or a wind or something to that effect. And like, it's like she just basically spends every book like trying to get back at her family's killer. She does find love a couple of books in. She goes through a couple of other men to start with, which is kind of fun.
As one should, test them out, put them to
But she's,
as one should.
Yeah, she is definitely, I can't say like a whole lot without like spoiling like everything that happens, because a lot of stuff happens, a lot of secrets come out, but she's definitely like a warrior. I mean, she is bent on revenge and just kind of taking everybody out, but she also ends up like saving a lot of people and her town and like all these other things in the midst of this. So
okay, Leah, what's your last book?
So my last one is Susan Stoker. It is Shielding Aspen. It is part of her Delta Team 2 series. So I will say, Aspen is a combat medic. She has an ex that she's trying to let know once and for all that she actually is done with him. Like, and he isn't not taking no for an answer. And she, so she kisses Brain at a bar and is like, work with me here, just play along. And that's how they meet. But so they're like, that's at the end of the previous book. So their book is them like getting to know each other. She's a combat medic that's attached to a ranger team. And then the end of the book, there's a hurricane and there's a situation that happens. And she is the one that does the saving. Like, she keeps like Brain like out of the water after the situation, because I'm going to be super big because you just need to read it. But so this is one where she takes charge. She saves the day. Like, she does it all.
Okay. I knew there was one by Susan's that I really liked and I couldn't remember which one it was.
Well, and I was thinking Avery, because like her and her hero get stuck in the cave and they have to dig themselves out and things like that. And then like with Kaylee, like I thought of that one too, because she's like taken, kidnapped, and like everyone around her is killed. And then she has to like basically pretend that she is like not a good person. But But this is this one, she does the actual saving at the end.
Okay.
So I thought it was appropriate.
So I think Next of Kin by Hannah Bonham Young. This is the book. This is the first book she wrote. And in this book, the heroine is given her baby sister because she was born addicted and her mother is like, peace out. And the girl does not want her little sister to go to into foster care like she went through. So she takes on, as a young woman, raising her sister. And her sister's a baby. And then she ends up getting a roommate. And the hero, he is raising his brother. And so the reason I think that she qualifies as a heroine is, as much as she loves the brother, or it's not her brother, as much as she loves her roommate, she, in the end, is willing to sacrifice all of that to keep her sister safe. Like, she will do anything and everything she can to maintain that guardianship of her sister. And I think that protectiveness of a family will, you know, that mother's love kind of thing, I do think falls into the warrior classifications.
I do think like there are a lot of single mom or
For
guardian
sure.
books that would work for
I
that
do
in
think
contemporary.
it's easier to see it in a guardian situation.
Yeah,
Yeah, I would
because
agree.
they have to choose it. Like they choose to do it.
Okay, so
Yeah.
one last question, and this is for both of us, or all of us, or you. I don't know who all the words are. Maggie Gates, her Falls Creek series. I would absolutely say the heroine in What Hurts Us, the first book,
Yes.
she is a warrior.
She is Layla.
But would you say the other two heroines are equally warriors? And I ask this because in the second book, she has a chronic illness. She has overcome kidney disease, is a transplant survivor. Like she has to overcome a lot, learn her body, and know her body. She does get
But
saved by Dude.
I think she's a warrior. I think she already came in a warrior because she's already kind of like gone through that to that point. So I don't know that we're not really seeing like her learn to deal with the illness in this book so much, right? Like she's already at a level that
We see
she
how
has it under
she
control.
fights or how
Well,
she
and
deals
it's
with her illness while finding love.
yeah.
Well, and a lot of it is like how people treat her because of her illness. Like she like is the warrior because she has persevered, she has dealt with it, but not, like she's still dealing with that like I'm so fragile like mentality of from the other people. So like a lot of her story is like showing people that I am a warrior, like you need to see me
So
as
she
that
doesn't
now.
prove
Like
her that she's a warrior. She's already one.
yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think
Okay.
so.
So what
She's
about
just like showing to other people that she is now.
now let's talk about the third book and the heroine in the third book who suffers a very traumatic birthing story. She suffers greatly with her postpartum depression.
Yeah.
She has to learn to let go and accept help, which I think is very hard. And if you're a warrior, you want to keep fighting and feel like you can manage yourself. But sometimes you got to have a team, right? So I don't
Yeah.
know. I don't. She's really a strong heroine.
I think she qualifies as a warrior because you see the birth on page, how hard she has to fight. And she's fighting everything. I mean, she's fighting the town and how they're telling her to raise her daughter. She does accept help, but I don't think she ever stops fighting. So I would 100% qualify Beth as a warrior.
I did not read that book because that's a huge trigger for me, but I will say yes, she is a warrior just because of what like she went through.
I just was curious. Jenny's in the chat saying yes, 100%. Like,
Yeah.
that's one of Jenny's I will accept no criticism on
Yeah.
series.
And a lot of that is how they're written though too. Like they have these problems and they have these traumatic events in their history, but it doesn't break them. Like they take them and create like power from it.
So I think at the end of this, and while I think we disagree a little bit on romantic suspense and the heroines in romantic suspense, I think one of the things that comes out of this is we want more stories featuring women in leadership, high stake roles without sidelining their romantic arc.
Well, but also not categorizing them as unlikable or bitchy.
I agree. Okay, so that's it for the female archetype, the warrior, which is a very decisive archetype apparently for us, because I just
Yeah.
don't think she exists enough in contemporary romance in any subgenre. So, not enough, just not enough. Anyway, do you have anything else to say before we go on to the next thing?
I'm good.
Do you have
I
something to
shared it.
say?
No, I was just trying to put my Rex in here and I put him in the wrong spot. I'm just fixing it.
Oh,
Sorry.
it's okay.
Amanda
Leah
was
looks like
focused. She
she's
was not paying
sorry.
attention.
Leah
I'm
looks like
sorry.
she's got something to say.
I don't have anything to say. I think that that's the thing. It's this device, like decisive, and they have definitions, but none of them are clear cut. And I think that's the issue with like the categorization of like the archetypes and
But I
stuff.
do think that we see oftentimes that the female character is weakened so that she can have that romantic arc. And I just wish we didn't have to see that as often as we do.
No, but I think that part of it is the nature of romance, and so people don't want to mess with that at the same
Sure.
time.
Sure, the formula that of what works.
'Cause I mean, romance, like from its like inception, it has been the male saving the day.
Yeah, I
So I
agree.
think if we had like if it was different, I think we would fight about it. Like and be like, "Well, why is she doing all the saving now?" You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that we don't want to see it, but I think there would still be like it would not be the same.
Okay. So now it's that time.
It's that
It's that
time
time
for
for
book
Book
of
of
the
the Week. It's Book of the Week time. Amanda, what's your Book of the Week?
Okay, so my book of the week is Lessons in Heartbreak by Carla Sorensen. It's her new one that's coming out in May. I have been reading a lot of fantasy, a lot of world building, and I needed a break. So
I'm
I was like, I
sorry.
had no, I'm not sorry about it. Like I'm not sorry about it at all, but I needed a mental break between two series that I picked this book up because I had the arc and it was like a warm hug. I don't even know. I was just like, I started it and practically finished it
You
in
read
like
this one
one
really
night.
fast,
I
too.
did. I needed it, I think.
Sometimes you just do.
But there's a
So,
reason that Carla Sorensen is a go-to author for you.
yeah, she hits a lot of emotional points for me in books. And I tend to find a lot of her heroes very, very swoony. In this one, it's Griffin King. He's an NFL player. He's been told to get out of the public eye for a minute because of things that happen in the media. And Ruby Tate is she's like a small town librarian. She is very kind of shy, and they have a previous connection. They were neighbors when they were younger, and the way they meet in this one is pretty funny. It was, I don't know, it was just I needed
okay.
it. So it's this one's going to be with Montlake on May 20th, so it'll be out in KU, and if you just need like you need like
A warm hug,
a
apparently.
warm hug, just yeah. So
Leah, what's your book of the week?
my book of the week is Sadie Kincaid's newest one, Rebound. It is Elijah James and his wife Amber. It is marriage in crisis. And this is one of those ones where I wanted to read because y'all know I like a marriage in crisis book. And I was interested to see how this one went. And I cried a lot, I will say. I don't know if it's like me right now, or but I will say I did skim through some of the sexy times because there's a it's Sadie Kincaid. So, but I skimmed through those and I was like, I don't need all that. But I think she did a really great job. Like, it's the fact that like there's so much growth for Amber and Elijah, and they both kind of pick apart their relationship and where it went wrong and how it went wrong and how neither of them, like they both saw the fractures happening, but neither one of them did anything to correct them.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of kept taking those steps back. And like when you find out like why Amber started taking those first steps back and like what they were going through and why Elijah didn't see it at first, but then once he saw it, he was like, oh, it's almost too late. And then it just splintered from there. So the whole premise is they like are having an affair like while they're going through their divorce and like they're creating this new relationship. And so it just was really interesting the way that she did it, but I thought it was done really well. And Marriage in Crisis is one of those ones where like it's hit or miss, like you can do it well or you can do it really bad. And I think
Yeah.
that there's a lot of emotion, like there's some like trauma in the fact that with some stuff and like their past, but it's really good.
Okay.
I did not love, like I read book one, I didn't. It was good. It wasn't like my favorite of hers, and I didn't read book two. But I was like, I'm gonna try this one, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. So my book of the week is Left of Forever by Tara DeWitt. It is coming out on May 20th, and it's magical. It is magical. It's second chance divorced. Life after you, you know, with an empty nest and finding your way back to each other. Yes.
Well, and there's mutual pining. Like, I read about 20% and then I had to stop.
Yeah. I listened to the audio. The audio is stellar. When I tell you, though, Ren, the heroine, she's a warrior.
I can see that from the first book.
She is a warrior.
Yeah.
And she is the mama bear that you want, but she is also fiercely independent. And I'll just also tell you, her mother, a hoot. Her mother's a hoot. Just so we all know.
I like when we have good family there.
Right? Right? Well, his brothers. Okay. Anyway.
I'm excited for this whole family.
We'll talk about this one. I'm sure there will be a quick shot here in the coming weeks dropping for this one.
Yeah, I have the audio. I'm going to be doing that.
So good. It's so good.
I'll be eyeballing next week, I think, hopefully.
Well, I was going to do the audio yesterday, but when I hooked it into my hearing aid, it like shut it off somehow. And then none of my audio on my phone was working. So I just stopped.
Just stopped. Okay, so Patreon update. I want to thank you, everybody, for continuing to be Patreons and supporting the Buzzing About Romance podcast. Swag Pack sponsors for April are Krista Sandor and Kaylee Ryan. Swag Packs go out every other month right now, and we're getting ready to send out the April-May Swag Pack next week. And this one is a good one. So many goodies in this one. So if you like bookish stickers, bookmarks, coasters, and other fun stuff, make sure you head over to Patreon. Join our fancy drink tier. That is our $12 tier US. You can do that, support the podcast, and get fun bookish stuff every other month. Make sure you're back here Wednesday for our discussion of Dirty Like Me by Janie Diamond. This is the last book in Rockstar April. I have so many thoughts, but we'll have another Rockstar episode where on a Sunday we'll give you all the books we didn't talk about on Wednesday. For a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts over on our Discord. Also, apparently, I have to watch Vanderpump Rules ASAP. I've never watched it. Well, I actually liked Tom Sandoval in Traitor season 3, but apparently he's a giant douche nozzle. And I don't know this.
And I've never watched the show, and he is.
I've never watched the show, but I can also not watch that kind of show when Mike Burrier is in the house because the amount of...
Oh, there will be a lot of...
He'll make like fun of me.
Things I know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
so I have to watch that like a guilty pleasure, like secretly on my phone so no one can judge me. Don't judge me, people.
I mean, I'll judge you, but
I'm judging you. Read and watch what you want.
If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform or give us a thumbs up on this video here on the YouTube and share it with your friends. Also, if you have an idea for an that you would like to see us do for an upcoming episode, you can put it in the comments. You can send us a message. You can send us a DM. You can send us an email. You can fill out the contact form on the website.
And if it speaks to us, we shall do it.
Right. We're looking for ideas to talk about within the contemporary open door romance, all the subgenres, mafia, suspense, dragons. We're good with it all. Monsters,
or dwarves. Or if there's a specific like archetype that you want us to talk about.
Yeah, if you want to see us fight again.
It might go much like tonight went.
If you want to see us fight again, pick an archetype. Although every archetype episode Leah and I disagree on, because if you listen to our Alpha Hole episode, we fought about that one.
We do fight a lot on these ones.
On the character-driven ones, we tend to, because we look at them very differently, which is great. That's what makes good podcasts.
Yeah.
But we're not getting divorced, kids. We're fine. We probably just need some couples therapy. That's why Amanda's here.
I know, seriously.
I'm the wrong person for that.
Or Jenny.
I mean.
Right? Anyway.
Yeah.
everyone, thanks for hanging out with us. Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.